Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second.
You guys want a muffin?
Sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
They're all blueberry. That's all I got.
Oh.
You don't like blueberry?
No, I love blueberries.
I'll take a blueberry muffin. Sounds great.
There you go. Yeah, help yourself. They should still be warm.
Ooh, they are.
Ooh, these are nice and warm. Where'd you get these, Henry?
I actually had my my clone make them. I've been teaching him how to make muffins.
Oh.
You've been teaching him how to bake?
Yeah.
Just muffins?
Just muffins or
just well, that's well, it's the first thing I figured, you know.
You got to start somewhere. Might as well be muffins.
Start with muffins, right? Yeah. He's been learning.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Has your clone been doing anything else?
He learned how to shower and wash his hands.
Nice.
Which is good, because we started the muffin process and then realized, okay, we should probably learn how to do those things first.
The hygiene, yeah.
Yeah.
Were these muffins made before or after you taught him to wash his hands?
This was the second batch.
Okay,
this
good.
He was still learning. He was still learning, but
close.
Yeah, fairly close. Go ahead and take a bite.
Okay.
Tell me what you think.
Well, yeah, maybe I will. I'll take a bite.
It's not bad.
Wow, nice and moist. Mmm. Wow, these are amazingly flavorful.
Well, I'm glad.
Yes.
I'm glad you think so.
It's good.
But
delicious.
But yeah, well, so how have you guys? We've all been hanging out with our clones, right? Have you guys been hanging out with your clones?
Yeah, I've been trying. Clone Kyle is kind of hard to get along with.
Yeah, CK. He seems a little iffy.
Yeah, he's kind of a bummer. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been trying to teach him to feel joy.
What have you been trying?
I've been putting various fun novelty hats on him. We'll just stand in front of a mirror for hours.
And just nothing?
Blank expression.
Clones these days, right? You just can't break through to them.
You can't break through to the clones. I mean, yeah, it's the same with mine. I've been trying desperately to sleep with it. And it's just, he's just not having it.
Like sleeping in the same place or like...
Yeah, like taking naps together. Why?
Oh, he's not interested in it?
I just figured you'd knock off two notches on your bedpost in one fell swoop there, but...
Well, that was my other hope. But let me tell you, this guy is... He is hard to tie down. He is hard to...
don't try to tie him up.
I just can't... No amount of rope can hold this guy. I tell you.
You're trying to tie up your clone so you can take naps together.
Yeah.
But he keeps getting out? Is he still gooed?
He keeps squirming. Yeah, he's all covered in gooed. Now, Kyle, you say that you put a bunch of hats on your clone, trying to get at joy. Mm-hmm. Have you tried anything aside from hats? You've just been standing and doing hours long and with hats there. Should we try taking him out for ice cream or throwing him a birthday party or? Or letting him win at a video game.
Oh, how about this hat?
Oh.
That one's not bad. I like that. It's a fisherman's hat that says hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's try that here. Put it. CK.
CK.
CK, come over here.
Hey, Clone Kyle. I am Kyle McClinsky.
Oh. Well, that looks pretty good.
That looks great, Clone Kyle.
How do you feel?
I am Kyle McClinsky. We still haven't gotten past
talking. Don't be like that. Don't be like
that.
Okay,
you could go. You know, you take that. Go.
I'm Kyle McClinsky.
Okay.
Right. Wow. Is he always like that?
He's a
real
slow learner. He's.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, I've been trying to get him to say anything except his name.
Jeez.
No luck.
He is a gloomy Gus.
But Henry, your clone is already baking muffins.
Correct.
And showering.
He
washes
his hands almost every day.
Wow.
Almost ain't bad.
He can get the newspaper.
Wow.
And he can look at the newspaper and say, it's pretty good.
Nice. He's not reading it though, right?
I mean, who's to say, really?
Yeah, he could. He might.
He seems very interested by it.
Fascinating. Now, do you think that he's interested by it because of what he's reading, or is he interested because he's seen you read the newspaper and you're interested in it?
Well, I don't read the newspaper, right? When you deliver the newspaper to my house every single day, mm-hmm. and it has my social security number still printed on the front cover.
Yes.
I've already seen it. I know what's coming.
Henry, there's other stuff than just your security number. There's also your mother's maiden name, your first pet's name. There are so many things to read.
I don't need any more copies of the Daily Trumpet Messenger, please.
Well, then you should have canceled your subscription.
I filled out, you gave me a 20 page, I don't even know what, a memorandum? What is this? No. I filled out every dotted line. And
Henry,
then,
no, I'm so sorry. I gave you the memorandum A/B. What you need is a memorandum Z through Q. Now, what that one will do is successfully cancel your subscription. What you've done is... release to me your power of attorney.
I'm just glad that the only thing that Greg can think to do with all this important information about you is just publish it. I mean, he could
send it to me.
Hey, yeah,
release it to the world. Let the world do with it what it will.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Anyway,
should we just get the podcast started?
Sure.
I suppose so. Yeah.
I don't see why not.
All right. Well, welcome to Breakroom at the Cineplex. My name is Kyle McClinsky.
My name is Greg Basil.
And I'm Henry Prime Harrison.
Yeah, should we all be saying that we're the prime version of ourselves?
I don't think anybody's going to get confused with you, Kyle.
Oh.
No, yeah. Everyone's going to know, oh, it's obvious that he's the good one.
He's got the big foam cowboy hat on.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly.
I think it's still looking good.
It's a little dirty. You haven't washed it.
No,
are you thinking
not.
About washing it at all?
I think it's like a luck thing.
A lucky foam hat?
You know, where sports players won't change their socks or whatever until they...
Yeah, but that's because they're winning. What good thing has happened to you
I've been hoping the luck would start, but it hasn't yet. Things have just been getting worse. Just staying the same, which is worse.
Why don't you change it up? Have you tried different foam hats?
No. I'm for some reason very loyal to this hat.
That is strange. Kyle, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Are you stuck to that hat? Is that hat stuck on your head?
There's a little goo residue that seems to have. When it gets in your hair, it's really. It's like an adhesive. Guys, I can't take my hat off.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Kyle.
Oh, that's a problem for the end of the podcast.
So let's get right to it.
We'll circle back around to that.
So this week we watched a film that was... it was a fairy tale. It was a fantastical, a magical fairy tale story. Sort of your classic...
Yeah.
Fairy tale story.
Now, could you, if you had to equate this fairy tale, if you had to find the parallel fairy tale, the fairy parallel tale, what do you think it would be?
Knight Rider?
Knight Rider mixed with like Cinderella.
Yeah.
Knight Rider mixed with Cinderella, because this was a horse-drawn carriage that could talk.
Right. And David Hasselhoff plays the fairy godmother.
Yes. In a bit role. Like, he wasn't in it for as much as... Like, seeing...
Yeah.
Considering
but
he was
I think
build.
All of our hats are off for Hasselhoff.
Oh.
All of our hats are off for Hasselhoff. Nice. Except for Kyle's.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, his hat stayed on the entire movie.
The entire time.
I was tugging on it, but...
Henry and I, like, we were ridiculing you for not taking your hat off, because once Henry said that, which was great, hats are off for Hasselhoff, mm-hmm. we took our hats off, and we were like, Kyle, take your hat off, and you...
Right. It was during the national anthem that David Hasselhoff sang in the movie.
I know.
Now you kept making excuses. You kept saying things why you couldn't take your hat off.
Mm-hmm. I hate America. David Hasselhoff is just okay. All lies.
All just horrible things to be saying. Hasselhoff is a national treasure in Germany. And America is just fine.
So let's jump right in. Who wants to introduce this one?
So we open on our main character.
Should we get the title first?
Oh yeah, we should probably start with the title.
Well, I mean, it's right there. We're all looking at the DVD case right now.
It's a strange font, but
yeah, it's a little hard to read.
And black on black, black font on a black background.
Black on black does not work.
But the title of this movie, as we can all,
we can, like, it would be so easy for any of just one
of us to read it, but let's do it all at the same time.
Let's do it at the same time.
All right, here. Start with the first letter. Ready? Go.
T.
T. Yeah. T. Oh. T. Yep. And then the second letter?
H.
Oh, H.
Okay. The third letter is like, R.
Okay, T-H-R. Yeah, yeah.
The first word is through.
Through. Mm-hmm. And then the.
Through the.
Through the. Eyes.
Of
Cindy
Rella.
I think it's a Raya.
Raya? That... Yeah, the two L's make a Y, right?
Because it's...
They didn't say her last name in the movie.
Through the eyes of Cindy Raya.
That's the name of the movie. It's so easy to read.
Yeah.
It's so clear. It's just black text on a black background. It's
yeah, easy. you kind of have to angle it.
It's, yeah,
get
it's,
the light
it's,
to catch
it's
in the
slightly,
light, yeah.
Slightly embossed. Mm-hmm. You can see it a little bit
embossed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Through the eyes of Cindy Raya. So this movie, it opens on Cindy Raya. We don't know her last name because they never said it.
It never says it. It says it on the mailbox, but they don't say it out
yeah,
loud.
Yeah,
right.
So we open up on Cindy, and Cindy is walking through a farmer's market. It looks like the time period is fantasy.
Fantasy 1980s.
Yes.
Yeah, so the world is kind of this mix of the 1980s and fairy tale sort of creatures and fantasy beasts and mm-hmm. fairy tale tropes.
Right. So she's in the farmer's market and she's haggling over turnips with a troll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's got like a nice leather jacket on and some sweet shades. He's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Nah, I'll never go as low as that. You're disrespecting me. Never in my life have I been
we
so
trolls are a proud race. Now chalk over that change, mama.
And Cindy's like, yeah, I will not pay 20 gold for a 12 pack of turnips. That's
she's like
insane.
The highest I will go is six
maybe.
Gold pieces, and he's like, you gotta get out of here with that. We'll never go. This haggling scene goes on for a good 5 or 6 minutes.
Right.
All while the credits are the titles cards are coming up.
Yeah. All the
and finally, they settle on 12 gold pieces for 12
gold
turnips.
Pieces, which is a good price.
Seems
a good
fair.
Price.
A gold piece yeah. per turnip. I mean, that makes sense to me.
Sure.
So Cindy grabs her groceries, essentially, and she rushes back home. She kind of skips through the street, through the town, and she gets back to her home, which is a nice house on this hill.
Yeah.
It seems like she must be pretty well off. But she gets inside and she's greeted by her evil stepmother.
Mm-hmm. Her evil stepmother.
A classic trope.
She's got three of them.
Yeah, three evil stepmothers. It's a sister wives situation going on. And her father... Yeah.
He's away on business.
He's away on business. Yeah, he's away on business. And so she just has her sister moms. and she comes in through the door. And we meet her first sister mom... Danielle comes down the stairs. He's like, Cindy, you better get those turnips on the grill because we've got company coming in.
And then her second stepsister mother comes down the stairs and says, yeah, we're going to the ball tonight. We gotta get our turnips in so we can dance and tear it up on the floor.
Gotta get our bellies full of them turnips. And Danielle turns around and says, "You're right, Jarlel.
And she's like, "Why are you saying my name so funny?" And then the third one comes down the stairs and says, "I cannot wait to get some of that turnip in me. I'm going to dance even harder than these two."
And so Cindy says to them all, "Look, Danielle, Jarlel.
And the third one, Jarabel.
Jarabel, Jarlel, and Danielle." Oh, no. She says to them all, she's like, "Look, I'm going to get these turnips on the grill. You all just calm your tits and leave me to it."
This is a PG-13 film. She can't say what she wants to say.
No.
She can say calm your tits, but she can't say what she wants to say.
You know the rule with PG-13, you get one tits.
You get one F-bomb, but that comes later.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we get it. Oh, we get it good.
And she's like, hold back. You don't need that yet.
Wait.
And so, calm your tits. Maybe I should call my tits. All right. And she tells him to get out of the room. So they're in the next room getting all gussied up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting all gussied up. They're talking about how they're going to dance with all these guys and
all
and
these
everything.
Rich guys.
All these rich guys, which is insulting to Cindy because it's her father who's away on business, who married all of these women, who's in love with all of these women equally, presumably. And yeah. all these ladies are just going to go off and dance with other guys, ostensibly cheating on her father.
So Cindy goes into the kitchen and she's like, "Got to get these on the grill." And there's a big grill in the kitchen. You know, sort of like an outdoor grill, but it's in the middle.
It's
of
like
the kitchen.
It's a hibachi grill.
Yeah.
It's hibachi.
So she's flipping the turnips, making a volcano with them. I mean, doing some cool stuff.
She's flipping a turnip into her hat.
Mm-hmm. And she's doing all this while tears are running down her face because she wishes she could go to the ball. She's single. She's not, she's not attached to anyone.
She's not dating her dad.
No. Anyway, something that I find very cool is how she's able to keep her composure.
Mm-hmm.
She's visibly distraught.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. Good word.
But whereas her face is emotional, her hands are just flailing. She is cutting up turnips. She's flipping them, like you say. She's doing the volcano thing.
Incredibly skillful.
And she starts into her first, like, this is a musical also.
Of course.
She starts into her first song about how she wishes that love could find her.
The song title is "When Will My Love Turnip."
Nice. "When Will My Love Turnip?"
And as she's singing, there's this crack in the wall near the kitchen, and a bunch of cockroaches start coming out.
Yeah.
And she seems to recognize them. These are her friends.
Mm-hmm. And they're moving turnips. They're carrying. They're washing pots and pans and.
They're providing the backup vocals.
They're prepping the turnips as she's grilling them.
Throwing them to her and she's catching them on her spatulas.
"When will my love turnip?" and she looks at them. "Oh, cockroaches, you've always been my closest friends." And one of the cockroaches,
"Yeah, well, we know that love will find you sooner or later. I kind of sound like the troll from before."
I think they only had a few voice actors.
They had him for the whole day.
So they used him wherever possible. He'll come up again, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. And they're like,
Oh, Cindy, it hurts us so much that you can't go to the party."
And then a rat comes out and says,
"Hey, here's an idea. why don't after your evil stepmothers why don't we get you after they leave? Let me finish a sentence before I start another. After your evil stepmothers leave, why don't we get you all gussied up and we'll send you to the ball?"
And Cindy's like, "That's a great idea.
I didn't even think about that." So she rings the bell. Order up, and her sister moms file back into the room, and they're all dolled up. Their hair is big, and I mean 80s style hair. This
Their hair is big. Their makeup is loud. The colors are vibrant.
Yeah, lots of pink and teal.
They're wearing leg warmers and windbreakers. I mean, this is a clearly a fancy ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so they jazzercise into the room.
Yeah.
And sit down to eat.
Mm-hmm. And they just tear into these turnips like they haven't eaten in days.
They're licking their plates clean, shoveling turnips in their mouth, and slamming on them like, we want more. I mean, I think they reused the troll voice actor again just for this scene.
A little ADR work. But
a little ADR.
It's just... They didn't bring in the actress to do the ADR.
They only had the budget to bring him in.
They had him for one day, but only one day. So they only could do first takes. That's why he kind of flubbed that line as the rat. And they had him do all the ADR.
They didn't even have time to stop the recording and start again.
No.
He destroyed that take. But the animators... They didn't seem to... I wonder, do you think that they animated the rat before?
Oh, yeah. This movie's animated, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Fully.
Completely.
Like Cinderella.
I don't think we mentioned that.
Like a cartoon?
So they shove in, they're like, all right, we gotta get going now, girls. We gotta take our
the stretch carriage is here.
And they step outside, and they hop into it's a stretch. I mean, there's only one way to describe it.
A stretch horse-drawn carriage.
Cindy's left alone as they squeal out of there, tires burning somehow, so fast.
That
some,
horse.
Some retro 80s beat starts in, and she starts to kind of get...
So Take On Me starts playing, and
not the whole song.
And she's cleaning up. The cockroaches are helping her, and she starts into her second song, which is Take On Me.
I don't know.
And as she's doing this, the cockroaches are kind of gathering up the garbage as they're cleaning, and they're like, this is what we can use to make her dress.
They start sewing it. Yeah, they start pressing it together. They start painting it.
But it's all just garbage. They like tip over the trash can and there's other waste in there.
Mm-hmm.
They find some expired milk and incorporate that somehow.
Massaging it into her hair. She's going along with it. She's like, Oh my goodness, what a wonderful gesture. Well, I might as well put on this garbage dress and
she catches herself in the long mirror that's by the door as she's stepping out. She says, "Oh my God. This is awful. This is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life."
And she turns on her friends and she's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Oh, that was
there was the F.
That was the one
that they got.
Well, what a perfect use of it. Satisfying.
What the fuck did you make?
So she grabs a broom and she starts shooing her friends and smashing them with a broom. It's pretty upsetting.
Like, yeah.
No. I thought we were friends. I think you look beautiful, but my standard of beauty is different than that of your.
We love garbage. Oh.
And so she's crying again.
Mm-hmm. She's weeping.
And take on me fades out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fades out.
Yeah, this whole part was during the musical interlude as she's smashing her friends with a broom.
And as it fades out, she's crying on the doorstep in her garbage dress. Her friends have abandoned her at this point because she shooed them away. Mm-hmm. And we hear this like, I don't know, a sparkly noise, like...
Yeah, chimes of some kind.
Like a turn the page when you hear this sound. That kind of sound.
Yeah.
Little harp glissando de glissando, if you will.
Mixed with a wailing guitar.
and her sobs fade out, and she wipes her eyes and looks into the sky. And David Hasselhoff, in fairy wings and with a magic wand, is descending from the
heavens.
He's
rocketing towards Earth, just full speed.
He is
speed.
Just...
Yeah, wailing on an electric guitar. And he lands and makes a crater in the Earth.
Yeah. In the foyer, this is in the entryway of the house, he crashes through the ceiling right into the entryway.
And she's like, oh my god, are you okay? I'm gonna get blamed for this, but are you okay? This is bad for both of us.
And he looks up at her and he says, Why do you always worry about other people? You can be selfish once in a while. And he goes into some song about how
hooked on a feeling.
Yeah.
It starts, ooka chaka, ooka chaka. And then he starts to go.
But he's singing his own words to it. He's singing his own words.
Right. It's not exactly hooked on a feeling. The actual rendition that he did, I think it was called Hooked on the Ceiling, because he was fixing everything up and shooting magic around. He wave of his electric guitar, and the dishes are cleaned. He just wails a power chord, and like the floor is sweeped up and all the dishes are put away. And then he looks at her and he's like, oh, well, we gotta do something about this. And And her garbage dress turns into this beautiful ball gown.
Mm-hmm. A gorgeous ball gown.
And he's
gown.
Like, well, that's a little much for this event. And it kind of scales down. And she's like,
It's like a casual dress type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, well, that's all I can do. And he starts to leave. And she's like, wait, but how will I get to the party without the my sister moms took the stretch carriage? And he's like, I think I can help with that.
And he pokes his head out the door, and he puts his fingers in his mouth, and he whistles. And down the street, you can see, like, the headlights of a carriage.
With no horse.
And it peels its way up the driveway.
You hear an engine rev.
And he's playing this sweet guitar lick while this is happening.
Yeah.
He's just super into it. He's like, yeah, yep.
And he's looking at her, you hearing this shit? Yeah.
And he's like, all right, that should do it. And he kicks off from the ground, leaves another crater in his wake, and launches into the sky.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, wait, are there any disclaimers or stipulations I should know about in regards to all this you've given me? And we hear from the sky, yeah, you gotta be home by midnight.
Which there he is.
I think they forgot to record that line with David, so they had...
I mean, it seemed like he was in a rush to get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff, he was probably... They probably had him for even less time than that voice actor. So Hasselhoff is gone.
Mm-hmm. From the film, completely.
From the film. He's still top billed.
Oh, of course.
But he was only there for, like, what, 4 minutes?
Our hats are off to him, though.
Yeah.
Our hats were off, except for Kyle's.
We forgot. Well, he does come back for a brief scene later for the national anthem, but...
Right. Oh, right.
That's not till the ball.
That's not until the ball. So, and we'll get there. So, the carriage drives up, and it's a pretty cool-looking black carriage with red accents. Mm-hmm.
And she climbs on in, and she's like, all right, and she whips the reins, and she's like... Wait, there's no horse. How do I make this thing go? And then you hear the carriage say,
I can help. Not all carriages are horse-drawn.
It's the voice again.
You've heard about horsepower. Well, this... let's just go.
And they peel off, and the wheels spin, kick up a bunch of dirt, fill in the crater that David Hasselhoff left, and they peel off into the night. And she's whipping down the road, and she's like, wow, this is amazing. We're going so much faster than any other carriage I've ever been in. And it says, you haven't seen nothing yet. And it jumps into the air.
And wings pop out.
And it's gliding through the air. We get this beautiful aerial shot, and she starts to sing another song. Mm-hmm. I think this was an original. It sounded like an 80s ballad, but it was called, Soaring Through the Air Tonight.
I'm soaring through the air tonight.
Right. She's like, let the wings of your heart flutter. I feel it in my chest. I don't know.
Something's wrong with my chest. What's happening in my chest?
Oh my God, God, am I having a heart attack?
and it's at that point that the carriage drops back down to the ground because she's hyperventilating.
Yeah, she's freaking out.
So she touches down and they at the party and just kind of peels in. All the valets there are like, holy crap, what, like,
what, oh my hell? God, you flew in from the sky. Yeah.
And her car is like,
oh yeah, no problem. Is it cool if I park here?
And so she gets out, and the valets are like, you want me to take the reins? And she's like, no, don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. And she's like, thank you so much. And he says,
one more thing.
And it shoots down right at her feet, and which were barefoot up until this point. And these beautiful pumps.
These glass pumps filled with water. With
and
a
goldfish. A little goldfish in them, yeah. And she's like, oh, wow, this is going to be the talk of the whole party. What time is it? Oh, 10:40. Oh, geez, it's already. All right, well, I better get going then. Yeah. And she
enough time for a couple cocktails.
And she starts walking up her way up this really grand staircase up the way.
And when she gets inside, it seems like the party is kind of like just getting going, because there in the middle of the floor is David Hasselhoff singing the national anthem.
Singing the national anthem. And all the partygoers are got their hands over their hearts and everything.
They got their hats off for Hasselhoff.
Tears in their eyes.
And he's on the last lines of the song. He's like, yeah. And the home.
The free.
And let's he nails it.
He's playing the guitar at the same time.
Yeah, he's also wailing on a guitar.
Jets are flying over. A parade!
Good night! And he leaves the movie for good.
Thank you! Yeah, a puff of smoke, he's gone.
And then, man, the songs kick in right after that. The 80s songs, one after the other. All the hits from the 80s.
You know them.
Tears for Fears starts playing.
Uh-huh.
Dio.
Yeah, Rainbow in the Dark.
Whitney Houston.
You know, the 80s.
You know it.
But they're just kind of faded out in the background while she goes over to get herself a drink, cuz she's like, "Boy, I need a drink after tonight." And she says that to the bartender, and the bartender's like,
"Listen, I don't need your life story. Here's a drink."
And it's at that point that the bartender walks away, and she's like, "Golly, I kind of feel out of place here. I don't know what to." And she hears a familiar voice saying, "Hey, bartender, I want turnip juice. Give the girl turnip juice." And sure enough, Cindy looks over, and there is Danielle
Jarlel,
and Jarabel. Danielle, Jarlel, and Jarabel. And they're all there.
Drunk as skunks.
Drunk off turnip juice.
And Cindy looks over to them, and she's like trying to hide her face and everything. Mm-hmm. And Danielle looks over and is like, "Hey, honey, why don't you come over here? You know it. She looks like a girl who knows what's up. Golly, you sure do look familiar, girl. Now, why don't you tell this bartender what you think about him not having turnip juice?" And Cindy's like,
she's like, "Sorry, ma'am, I don't know you. I'm just here to dance."
And she's like, "Oh, you're here for one of them rich guys, huh? Well, you won't do much better than Charlie Richardson over there." And she points, and as they all gander up, he's coming down the staircase, and he's wearing a suit made of money. And he's got a big cane with a giant diamond on it and a top hat, also made of money.
Also made of money. And he's got these sunglasses that look like dollar signs.
But he is barefoot. He's got this whole outfit, but he's barefoot. And he's walking down the stairs, and he's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming to my party. As you know, the contest tonight, who's got the best shoes that then I can have? Anyone who wants to compete, line up.
Line up and give me your shoes."
People start flocking. They are rushing to get in line. And her steps, her mom's sisters push her out of the way and say, "You snooze, you lose, Missy." And they you know,
they're clamoring over each other. They're climbing on each other.
People are being trampled.
They're trying to get their shoes off. They're bouncing on one foot trying to get shoes off.
And we see that everyone at this party has brought their coolest, weirdest, nicest shoes. You know, there's shoes of every variety. One, high boots that go up past your knee, covered mm-hmm. in studs. There's pumps that are covered in fur.
There are sandals covered in latex.
You know, only the coolest shoes.
Only the coolest shoes. And he walks down. He's going through the line. He's going mm-hmm. past the line. And Cindy's still sitting up at the bar.
Yeah,
she's still sitting up at the bar. And the bartender comes over and says,
"Hey, honey, don't you want to go see if your shoes are those that the patron, the host, can have himself?" Sorry, I'm a little drunk.
We only had one take.
He's like, "That's, listen, I had turnip juice at the start of the night. Oh my!"
And she says to him, "No, that's okay. No, I'm okay. I'm not here to. What would a rich man like Charlie Richardson?
Yeah.
What would a rich guy like him want with my shoes? My shoes are nothing special." They're fish.
I mean, listen, like this talking car gave them to me outside. I mean, there's nothing special about these shoes.
And the bartender says to her,
"Sounds like you've had a bit to drink too." "I'll get you one more, honey."
and just as she as the bartender walks away, she kind of sighs mm-hmm. and she kind of glances over. And to her surprise, standing right there.
Right next to her.
Right next, like, surprisingly close,
whispering in her ear with hot and heavy breath, Charlie Richardson,
"Let me get those shoes."
and she turns, "Ah!"
"Jesus Christ."
And he you can see behind him, he's got a pile of shoes, and people are sorting through them like, "My God, he just threw them in a pot."
He
and
hated them all.
And everyone's like, "Yeah, give me those moccasins. Those are mine." And he's standing right there. He says, "Those are the shoes that I want. Those shoes are amazing. Give them to me. You're so gorgeous. Give me your shoes."
This is a charming guy.
Yeah, charming. Like, wow. Charismatic. Don't mind if I do. He was dripping with charisma. Like, this man was bathed in charisma before he came on screen. And so Cindy looks to him, and she's all flushed and everything. She's all flustered. She's like, "Ooh, well, I mean
this guy comes up to her and demands her shoes in a low whisper. You're going to be a little taken.
A little turned on. Well." And so she
starts to unbuckle her shoes, and he's like, mm-hmm.
No, let's do this upstairs.
And and he ushers her up the staircase. Up to his bedroom.
He's pushing her, shoving her up the staircase, which, let me tell you, ladies, this is a man.
So charming.
Charismatic.
So they get up to his bedroom, and he's got his four-poster bed, giant chandelier. I mean, this is extravagant.
Yeah, it's a canopy bed. He's got paintings on the walls. He's mm-hmm. he's got a harpsichord in the corner. High class.
And so she takes off her shoes, and he puts them on, and he's strutting around the room.
He's strutting around, and he's like, "What do you think of this, huh? What do you think of this?" and she's clapping.
Just ecstatic at this point.
She is overtaken.
He's swinging the tailcoat of his money suit around just to show off mm-hmm, his butt mm-hmm. and just like really just strutting his stuff, showing off his calves and his pumps.
He's got the top hat. He's tipping the top hat.
And this is where he starts his musical part.
Yeah.
And he's saying, and his song is called "What Do You Think of This?"
What do you think, goddess? As he's tap dancing on the harpsichord, playing playing songs, as he's tap dancing on the harpsichord, and he sees a painting by Monet, a statue by Michelangelo. What do you think, goddess? And he's just showing her all of the rich things that he has, all of the expensive things, and then the last chorus happens. The last chorus comes in where he's singing about how of all the things that he's bought, he's never truly loved, and shoes have never padded his heart. I don't know.
And it so he kinda... he takes off the shoes and sits down on the bed, thoroughly depressed at this point.
Yeah,
he sings himself into sadness.
Money glasses
and his money top hat. And he's like, maybe you should just leave. Sometimes I get like this. I'm sorry.
This was a bad idea.
And she's like, listen, I'm not gonna leave you in, you know, while you're sad.
Yeah, in your time of depression and need, how about I make you something? I'm gonna cook you up some turnips.
And so she goes downstairs and says, "All right, everybody, go home. Party's over."
Yeah, she goes down there. She's got a shotgun. She's like, "Party's over."
And she looks at the clock on the wall, the big grandfather clock, and it says 11:45. And she says, "Oh no, I gotta get these turnips going." And
ay Dios mío.
And she rushes down to the kitchen, and Charlie follows her there. He's like, I've never even been in this room in my house, and they
a
burst
whole
in
room where food lives.
And she's like, you have a hibachi grill, perfect. And she's going, she's doing everything to impress him at this point.
And this is kind of like as time crunch as this is kind of a tender scene where she's doing the whole thing, like she's cutting it up. She's got a little chef's hat. She does the volcano. She flips the turnip into the hat.
The sound of the scene sort of disappears, and this like romantic music comes in as he's just sort of watching in amazement.
A violin swell, and their eyes connect while she's flipping a turnip into the air and catching it on her spatula.
There's a little synth under the violins to keep it 80s. You know,
squirting a little oil on the turnips, which shoots up in a big flame pillar.
Yeah, and so as she seems to be coming to the end of her process, she's like, "Now go wait out in the dining room and I'll bring you your food." And he's like, "Okay." And he leaves. And we cut to him in the dining room, and he's tied a napkin around his neck. He's sitting there with his silverware. He is just so excited.
He is all ready to go.
And here comes Cindy as the ding. Bell chimes midnight.
Ding.
And she places ding. It on the table. She says, "Oh no."
Ding.
He's still wearing the pumps at
he's
this
still
point.
Wearing the shoes.
Her dress down dress starts
turning in the garbage.
Turning the garbage. Like a banana peel falls off of her shoulder, and she says, "Oh my god," and she runs outside.
She's starting to run as her perm hair is starting to turn back into rotten milk in her hair. She's running, ding, ding, and squeal. He runs up. He's right there at the entryway, and he's like,
"You've got to get in. We got to get you out of here.
Listen, I'm good till 12:05, but you know everything else, midnight on the dot. We got to go.
A grace period."
And so they soar into the air, and we can see down below the stretch carriage of her sister mothers is also down below, and they're flying above it, and then their sister mothers are all grumbling in the stretch carriage, saying like, "Man, we didn't even get a chance to get make money tonight. We didn't even bag a rich one," and then back up to her, and she's kind of gazing out the windows, just awestruck at all the beautiful sights around,
and tears coming to her eyes, and she's like, "I could have finally made a connection with someone. This was the best night of my life," and they fly off. Cut back to the kitchen where Charles takes a bite of the turnip, and he's like, "Holy shit, this is the best turnip I've ever had in my life. I must find this girl. If I have to search every single house and make every single patron of the house make me turnips, I will find the girl who made me these turnips."
And so we get her crashing, like just flying, the carriage smashes into the ground, blows up.
Intermission.
Which they do right before like the last couple minutes of the film.
they have a 10-minute intermission, and then they fade in with a title card saying 3 months later.
3 months later, and we have we see Charles Richardson.
He's slightly plumper now. Like he's just been eating a lot of turnips. A little more plump.
He and one of his, I don't know, one of his advisors or something, looks like a little elf type man. They're exiting a house. Mm-hmm. They're exiting a house. It looks big. It looks nice. They're exiting this house, and the elf says to the set, yelling into the door,
"Thank you very much. Unfortunately, these aren't the turnips that we were looking for. Have a good day."
Charles seems a little worn down.
Yeah, he's sweating through his money suit.
I don't know how much longer I can eat turnips.
Don't worry, sir. Don't worry, sir. We only have one house left, and it's that one.
And he points, and we see Cindy's house.
And he's like, "Oh, that dump."
It's got a hole in the ceiling right at the entryway. There looks to be broken car parts out front
that have been there. That looks like they've been there for months at this point. Yeah,
but I mean, we've already started this trek. Might as well finish it with a bang. And so they drive on over there, and we cut inside the house. We see Jarlel. She's just looking out the front window, and she's like, "Oh shit, girls, you better get ready, cause Charles Richardson's coming up the way." And there's a little clamor.
They're frantically running about, just trying to get, you know, ready, powdering their noses, doing cocaine, and and the knock comes at the door. And they're like, get the door, Cindy, get the door.
And Cindy rushes up, and she's kind of putting her hair in front of her face because she's embarrassed. She doesn't want Charles to see her like this.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Oh, there's no way that he would remember that night." So he opens it up. She opens up the door, like behind the door, and all the three stepmothers are there. Stepsister mothers
just kind of posing. I mean, they all got like their hands and they're fluffing up their hair, and they're
doing a little level thing on the stairs on the stairwell.
they're doing a sorority shot.
Yeah.
Yes. And the little advisor comes in and says,
"Announcing his, I don't know, Royal Eminence, Charles Richardson."
And Charles comes in, and he's like, "Please, ladies, stop your fawning. I need you all three. I need every woman in this house to cook me up some turnips, and we'll see if anybody can cook the turnips."
he's worn out at this point. You can tell. And they're like, "Oh, well, let's just have Cindy do it, and we can spend some time together." And so they kind of, you know, keep him occupied in the room, and Cindy's like, "Oh, okay," and she is rushed out of the room, and they are entertaining Charles while she's hibachi grilling once more. Mm-hmm. We get the final song. Well, I guess second. This is the second to last song.
The
second to final song. This is her solo song of basically, the song is, will he remember me? I don't know the actual
name
of the song.
Will he remember me? Yeah. That was like one of the main lines that she just repeated over and over.
Yeah.
It's the only lyric.
Yeah, it was really just, it was frantic. It was, "Will he remember me? Will he remember me? Will he remember me?"
As the cockroaches are coming out, "Will he remember?"
And she puts together this dish once more and comes out, gives him a plate of turnips. And he dips his fork, takes a bite. He's like, "Whoa.
And then he vomits. He just can't take another bite.
And he's overcome with emotion because he remembers. Like a flood of memories goes through his head, which is kind of unnecessary considering we had just seen these scenes. But you know, the intermission
did
happen.
We get the flashback of him dancing back in the room, strutting around in the goldfish pumps.
Tap dancing on the harpsichord.
Grandfather clock hitting midnight, and then he flushes back to his face.
Yeah.
And he says, "Who made these?"
It was me, Cindy says out of the corner.
He says, You made these turnips. I remember these turnips. I remember that night. I remember you.
And he starts to sing like the other part of her song. She's saying, mm-hmm. Will he remember? Will he remember me? And he says, I remember you. And they basically blend together beautifully. They grasp hands and they sing in each other's eyes. And he goes,
I remember sing into you. Each other's eyes. I remember. And Cindy and Charles, they embrace.
Mm-hmm.
There's this wonderful swell of music.
And then a guitar riff plays.
Cut to black.
Yeah. There you go.
That was the film. Through the eyes of Cindy Raya.
What a ride. What a ride. And I tell you, I'm always so happy to see voice actors get like consistent work, you know? Mm-hmm. It is a little obnoxious when they don't change the voice.
Yeah, and that it was such a distinct voice, and they did nothing to try to make it sound different for the different characters.
They could have pitched it up.
Pitched it down. Anything.
Anything. Yeah. Told the guy, maybe try this one in a different voice.
Yeah, you want to try something a little different, or... Yeah, especially for some of those characters who already had speaking roles.
Right.
Like, you're going to be like, could you try to match the voice at all?
They didn't have time for all that.
No, there's no time.
There's no time.
This was animated and voice recorded in a weekend.
Wow, I did not know that. Is that what the DVD case
says? That's what it says, 1987. That's what it says.
Goodness, wow. 87.
It was over a weekend in August. They wrote, animated, and recorded the entire film.
Wow. Well, that makes this a lot more impressive, I'll be honest.
Honestly, mm-hmm. I mean, I was already impressed with this movie, but that's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell, like, there were certain things they did, like the flashback you mentioned that we see. That, you know, that's an obvious opportunity to reuse some animation, pad the runtime a little bit.
Yeah.
But there was still a lot
added
of...
added about 4 seconds onto the film.
But there was a lot of animation that had to be done for this film.
Uh-huh.
They composed an entire album, basically.
I mean, I guess that explains why some of the songs are just songs from the 80s or songs from the 80s with the lyrics changed.
They did use some songs from the 80s.
Of course. Yeah, goodness. What a fun film. Fun film, friends.
Through the eyes of Cindy Raya.
Yeah, should we get to ratings?
Yeah.
I don't see why we shouldn't.
All right. I was going to give this, honestly, probably a lower score than I will now, just knowing how quickly they turned this around. I'm incredibly impressed.
That's astounding.
Yeah, I'll give this a 9. I think... For that alone, kudos.
Yeah. Before learning how quickly they put it together, though, mm-hmm. What would you have given it?
Oh, a 1.
Oh, wow. I ought to give
so
it.
So you did like, not before, like this at all. You were just impressed with how fast it was done.
It's terrible, but boy, did they make it quickly. And I think that's worth something. Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness. Yeah. Geez. I'm kind of in the same boat as you are, Kyle. I would have given it a lower score, maybe, well, for me, probably like a 4 or a 5, honestly. But yeah, learning how quickly they did this in a whole weekend.
Yeah,
wow.
48
Their
hours.
Hands must have been, those animators' hands must have been so cramped. Oof.
And for that?
And for that, I give it a 9.
Nice. 2 9s.
Henry, how about you?
I mean, I personally loved this movie. I mean, this is the first time I had ever seen it. I never saw it when I was a kid or anything.
Oh, you'd never seen this?
Yeah, my parents, my mom was said, you know, no movies with F-words in it, so.
Right.
I guess I could have skipped over the first, like, 15 minutes and then been fine, but.
Yeah, it did come in pretty quick.
But, I mean, this is an amazing, amazing film, honestly. I mean, I'm gonna have to give it, I mean, the fabled... 8 out of 10 rating.
Ooh,
a fabled 8 out of 10.
That's high praise coming from Henry.
Coming from Henry is he is a
harsh critic.
Oh, yes,
I'm a wild card when it comes to ratings.
Wild card. You never know what he's going to give. Like with some movies, Kyle and I love him. Henry hates him. We don't know where he's going to come from.
We think we know what rating he's going to give, and then he pulls out something like, I don't know, like an 8 out of 10, and I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
Didn't see that coming.
You know, uncharacteristic. That's a little crazy.
But, you know, some movies deserve it more than others.
Sure.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Eight men.
Eight
out of 10.
All right.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. If you, the listener, would like to submit a film for us to watch, you can do so via email at cineplexpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at cineplexpodcast.
That's the one. Hey, here's something else. If you want to submit a movie title, of course, do that. But if you also, if you want to maybe give us a review of a movie that we did, that we've also reviewed.
Yeah. Oh.
Tell us what you thought of a movie.
Send us an email. Whatever it is, send us. We need
send us some
help
coupons.
Us, all right?
Help.
What, you send us anything via email and we'll read it on the podcast.
That's
a guarantee. This is a risky guarantee I'm making right now.
All right.
Anything that you send.
Anything flies.
Anything
we
goes.
We will read it.
We are desperate.
And you know, if we're not true to our word, who's going to know but you?
Exactly.
Got him.
Yeah.
But anyway, you guys want to try to get this hat off of Kyle's head?
That sounds great.
Oh, yeah. Let's just rip that thing right off. Now, here's the thing. I have noticed that, like you say, after the goo...
Eruption?
Hardens.
Oh.
After the gooruption, all that goo, once it hardens, it kind of turns into a... like an adhesive type deal. I have noticed that on my hair specifically, mm-hmm. it's kind of hardened into a shell of sorts, like a helmet almost.
Right, because you've remained gooed on purpose all this time. I tried to wash it off and I was not quick enough.
You were not successful.
Well, by wash it off, you mean put a big foam hat on your head.
Well, I'd done that and then I was like, you know what, maybe I should wash my hair first, and it was too late.
Oh, missed it by that much.
Dang.
Yeah.
What if you, because I do think that you need to change it up, that hat, but if you can't get it off, maybe you should just put a hat over the hat.
Oh.
Put the hat on a hat.
This is a big hat, but I could try.
We got bigger hats. We can find
We've got to have bigger hats. What are some more over there? What's one of the biggest hats you can find over there, Henry? What kind of hat
is
this?
Well, this isn't so much a hat as it is a garbage sack, but I mean, it see, you can just put it right over here. Oh, it has words on it, actually. Do not dump toxic. Oh, well, that should
be
okay.
Fine. I mean, there's nothing toxic in it now except for that garbage hat.
Oh, it smells kind of weird in here.
Oh. What's that?
It smells kind of weird in here.
Well, just try not to breathe as much.
Okay.
Yeah, filter it through your nose.
That's what your nose is for. Your nose is to filter out the bad smells.
But then that's how I smell it.
Huh?
That's how I smell it.
I cannot understand.
I'm not hearing a word you're saying.
Take it off?
Here, I'll take it. Oh, it is really stuck on there.
Oh, that's on there.
Oh,
hold
no.
on. No. Henry, I'll help you. I'll help you. Hold on. Let me try. Wow. Huh.
Well, just filter through your nose for now. I mean, that's what humans developed a sense of smell.
Maybe we can.
I'm feeling.
Yeah, is to filter.
To filter
I'm feeling
stuff out.
Lightheaded.
Oh, well,
lightheaded?
Good.
Yeah.
Which is, that's surprising considering you have so much on there.
Nice.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Shit.
All right.
Here
he
goes.
All right. We'll catch you next time on Break Room at the Cineplex.
Yeah. Break Room. Do you know how to stop this?
I don't know. All right, well,
just unplug it. Just unplug it.
Here, I'll unplug it.